is going on, friends? And thanks again for joining us here on Expanded Perspectives with me, Cam Hale. And of course, as always, sitting beside me, Ned Flanders, Mr. Kyle Filio Filson.
How's it going, everybody? Yes, I'm here. Glad to be here. Excited. It's getting the air. The baseball is getting ready fire up. So, you know, me and my sons were already going to practice. I'm not practicing. I'm just watching. But yeah, we're already going to practice. And I know, so we're looking forward to another season. I look forward to it every year. I know people that are into sports and stuff, they don't mind me mentioning it. I know there's people out there that despise baseball and they get tired of hearing about it, but I'm sorry.
I love it.
We're a baseball family. We always have been, and so we're looking forward to that.
Going to be good times. Hey, I've got something quick to ask before we get rolling. Have you seen the new Coming to America?
I have not, and I'm a huge Coming to America fan. I've seen the trailers and stuff like that. I know it's been coming, and I saw where it was just released, and I just have been really busy every night this week. I just haven't had a time, but I think I'm going to maybe break down and watch it tonight.
I enjoyed it. I know I read a lot of stuff, and people, if you haven't seen it, you'll read a lot of stuff where they're talking about how bad it is, right? Or how it's not as good as the first. Let's not pretend the first was an Academy Award winner. It was a silly movie. So go into it with the idea that it's just fun.
Yeah, it's a comedy.
I enjoyed it. But I enjoy, like, Eddie Murphy, Arsenio Hall, all the old dudes, man. I enjoy all that. And it was fun. It was a fun time. So if I still wouldn't suggest, I'll leave it up to you if you want to turn the kids loose on it. But I don't think I would just yet because they're not going to get it.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
So they didn't ruin it, right? And it's got almost all the same actors in it from the original.
Yes.
Is it a good movie because of your age and you saw the original?
Probably, yes.
I mean, is there some type of nostalgia there? Like, would my boys who are 13 years old, would they think it was that great or they wouldn't get the references?
They wouldn't understand any of it because of,
That's okay because I'm a big fan of the original, so.
Well, and I think you really touched on something. There's a lot that when you take that much time in between it, you lose a lot of people that are connected to it probably, you know, or have that thing. Kind of like Star Wars, the way I feel like all the prequels to Star Wars were turds is the way I feel. Like, I just don't like it.
Yeah, right? Because you were raised when the originals came
out.
Exactly. I know what you're saying. I did the same thing.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, I was a big fan of the movie Dune.
Yes.
And it was out on HBO Max, and I made the older boys sit down and watch it with me, and they didn't like it at all.
They weren't about it.
They were just like, the story, I don't understand the story. Like, the special effects were garbage. They just to me, when I was a kid, that was one of the best sci-fi movies there was.
Yeah,
there's Star Wars, Dune. I liked Conan the Barbarian.
Yep. You go back and watch them, they just don't hold up.
Well, I know, but I still think they hold up. Like, to me, I'm like, what are you talking about? This is a great movie.
Yeah.
You don't like the spice?
I've gone back. We'll get off movies just a sec. I've gone back and went, and my wife and I are watching all of the Aliens. But we're watching them in like the order of release, not in the order, like not Prometheus first, you know, and going through that way. We're actually starting with Alien and Aliens and Alien 3, and then we'll go back as the way they were released. But I forgot how really great of a movie Alien itself was.
Fantastic.
Won an Academy Award for its special effects, the visual effects department, rather. Won an Academy Award. It was released in 79. And if you watch it now, it's still the way I enjoy it more because of what you and I have discussed. You don't see the alien that much.
I'm a big fan of that. It's the fact that you don't see it that much that makes it scary.
100%.
I remember that movie terrified me as a small kid.
Well, I've got something that you don't see that much that's terrifying. And if any of you follow here with me going on Cameron's Cryptid Classroom and doing all that, you'll know that one of the most recent ones that I pumped out was about wood devils.
That's right, yeah.
And this is another little wood devil encounter I'm going to read to you. It says, during the spring of 2003, I was visiting my sister who lives in Hampstead, New Hampshire. She lives in a somewhat wooded subdivision. It was early spring in New England, and the weather had been a fairly rainy day. I would frequently go outside by myself to smoke cigarettes late at night. There's the cigarette thing again, where you always see something.
What is the deal with sightings and cigarettes?
Yeah, nicotine.
I almost want to take up smoking again so I can have a sighting.
Right, exactly. So I'd be on the porch smoking. This is always after midnight. While I was outside, I would hear larger sticks crack and break on the forest floor near where I was sitting, but no leaves rustling. Well, at first, I didn't think much of it. I'm a seasoned camper, and I just didn't think it was a big deal. Corner camper. and I figured it was just an animal of some kind. This happened night after night, and then I noticed the sounds of something dropping out of the trees, and an animal or being of some kind scraping on the bark a bit as it descended. We've all heard that. Like, if you hear raccoons or squirrels, you can hear that,
dude,
that rustling sound, like, on that, right?
Squirrels can be... Is that my phone going off?
That may be something crazy happening.
Hold on, folks. Sorry about that. This is a live recording.
That's right.
Recording.
We're looking around like, what? Okay.
Anyways, what I was going to say is, like, you'd be surprised at how loud squirrels can be. I can tell you, I don't know how many times I've been hunting.
Yep.
And you're like, what is coming out of that tree?
Yes.
And it'll turn out it's a tiny squirrel.
Yeah. Or it's underneath you, and you're like, there's deer. There's deer coming.
Something.
And then, yeah. Exactly.
So, I mean, okay, continue.
So you get it. Well, it goes on to say that I tried looking for movement, but I saw nothing, like an animal or anything. The floodlights were on every time I was out there and were brightly shining. There was a street light at the end of a long paved driveway off in the distance. On subsequent nights, I took a flashlight and I tried to shine whatever animal it might be with it, but they was to no avail. Even though everything was brightly lit, I saw nothing. I tried this night after night. The sounds were there every single evening without fail. Goes on to say that I could hear them moving closer and closer to me the longer I was out there. Now, during the day, I looked for tracks and marks on the tree or other evidence, but it didn't turn up a thing. I picked up some sticks and broke a few to see what size stick I was hearing break, and I ascertained that the stick diameter was about an inch. So I had my 11-year-old nephew go out in the woods to jump on the sticks to see if he could break some of them so I could check the way it sounded from where I was sitting.
I like the way they're scientifically approaching this. You know what I mean?
Even says they're doing that to try to judge the distance of how far did I hear that sound.
All right.
He jumped on some, but because they were kind of moist, he could only break the smaller ones. And he weighs about 75 to 80 pounds. This told me that whatever it is, all right, weighs more than that. I could break the bigger ones by jumping on them, but I weigh 150 pounds. There are no animals in that area that are really large and could break that size stick based on the tests I did. So whatever it was would move in close to me, so I used the nephew to run around and make similar noises to gauge the distance in the daylight and when they were at their closest. They were about, get a load of this, 20 to 30 feet from me at best. Now I know that there was more than one of them because I could hear the one back beside the house and another one was in front at the end of the driveway. They moved in very close to where I was and that I could hear them coming for two different directions. They were not visible with the naked eye at all. I tried to take some digital photos, but saw nothing discernible in these pictures. Another thing that happened says my sister didn't have any window coverings downstairs and she loved the view of the trees, and I would sit at night on her computer surfing the web, chatting online near these windows.
Nine.
I frequently would get the feeling that someone was watching me. I wrote it off as just my imagination. Then there was the issue of the dogs barking and howling every night real late, like they were hearing something. They were kept in crates in the basement at night, and they would start their howling and they wouldn't stop unless someone would go down there and make them stop. They also would look out the windows late in the evening and start barking out behind the house as though something was there. We all thought it was just another animal or whatever and wrote it off, but my brother-in-law decided to keep the dog upstairs with him at night to keep it quiet. And this goes on and on of these stories of this person sharing this, of these encounters with something that may be some sort of being. And that is very common with what I had covered on the show with wood devils.
Really? I was not there for the show, so I'm not familiar with that. But
so these wood devils, imagine, folks, a very small size of possible Sasquatch. And when I mean small, I mean tall, but extremely thin. Thin enough that they can easily hide behind trees. They're also very long-limbed.
How tall are we talking?
We're talking 7-footers.
Oh, so that's much taller than I thought.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we're talking the same size as you would see, like, with a Bigfoot.
I got you.
Or a Sasquatch. They're just different. Now, what's funny is they call them wood devils. Some of them have been reported to actually look like a thin version of Groot from,
right.
From what is it, the Avengers in space. What are those people called? Guardians of the Galaxy.
Guardians of the Galaxy. That's it.
The Space Avengers. And then others have actually reported seeing them with hair. So it is interesting that this person here was like, they're getting close, so close. But what I like about it is they can never see them. Like, right. They're there, but so I can't see them.
This is common in the New England area where there are stories of, like, what are they, like tricksters. Like, they like to mess with people.
Yes.
So, like, when the story was first starting, I was thinking, well, maybe it's just overactive imagination. I'm guilty of that. Mm-hmm. They're out walking around, and they hear stuff, but they never quite see it. Maybe it is just squirrels or chipmunks, and it's kind of, you know, your mind is making it something it's not. But then as the story went on and you involved the dogs and the feeling of something watching you, starts to turn into something else.
I do like the way they scientifically break it down. Yeah, I mean, to get the size of the stick, the distance of the sound of the rustling.
The dedication.
Yes.
Me, I'd have just been like, huh, walked in the house.
Moved on.
Went on to something else.
I'm going to go have another smoke.
Right? Speaking of possible wood devils or Sasquatch or some kind of hairy cryptid in the woods, check this out. This comes from a listener named Jesse. It says, I've sat on these stories for a long time, and I now feel it is time to finally get them off my chest. When I was in the Army, my roommate, one of my sergeants, and I were on guard duty in the woods of Fort Lewis, Washington. My sergeant had a cooler with 1 6-pack of beer, a couple of sandwiches, and some candy bars. Now, it was about 2300 or 11 p.m., and nobody had been to check on us in a couple of hours. So, my sergeant looked around and decided to break out the cooler. He split the sandwiches between the three of us, and we sat down to eat. Now, while eating, he passed out the beer. I had one, and the rest were taken by my roommate and the sergeant. When we finished the meal, they threw the bottles into the woods. I stood and picked up my bottle and chucked the bottle into the tree line. I didn't hear the breaking of glass that I thought I would hear. Instead, I heard a thump of the bottle hitting flesh or a pillow. Now, my sergeant and roommate and I looked at each other and then looked to the woods. We picked up our rifles, locked and loaded the M4s we carried, then we walked towards the tree line together. Now, once we got to the tree line, we all kind of stood there for a couple of minutes just watching, looking around and trying to make sure we heard what we actually heard. I stepped just 3 or 4 feet into the tree line, and I found my beer bottle. I picked it up and walked back out to where my roommate and my sergeant were standing. I turned around and threw it back into the trees. We all kind of looked at each other, laughed, and turned around to head back towards what we were guarding. At that time, within a few seconds of us turning around, the beer bottle came back out of the woods and under the ground in front of us. And we spun around and level of our weapons into the trees, taking very careful aim. What I saw that night not only scared the shit out of me, my roommate and my sergeant were scared as well. We ran back to the safety of what we thought was safety of our fire. And that's when the other beer bottles came out of the tree line and landed in our camp. And we set up defensive positioning just in case they moved out of the trees. Now, what I saw standing into the tree line was about 3, maybe 4 roughly humanoid shaped each beings standing roughly 7 to 9 feet tall. Each one looked like it had black hair, but that's because they were shrouded in the trees in the darkness. And one of them grinned, and they walked back into the trees. My sergeant looked at us, and we looked at him, and he swore never, ever any one of us to talk about what we saw to anyone in our command structure. My second encounter came when I was driving from Vancouver, Washington, to Burien, Washington, to visit my sister-in-law and other family for the weekend. I came around a corner near a secluded pond close to the side of the road. I saw 2 Sasquatch standing by the pond with what looked like large, crude spears, trying to fish, I assumed. As I drove past, they looked up, gave me a passing glance, and went back to fishing. I didn't stop or slow down due to my wife and daughter being in the car with me. If I had stopped, my wife would have lost her mind and screamed for all her worth. Though I think my daughter would have thought the encounter was cool. Thanks for what you do, Jesse. So what do you think of that? The 3 guys on guard duty in the woods. I like how it's like, like when Smokey the Bear in the national parks, like you're not supposed to be littering.
Yes.
Like they throw all the trash in the woods. You know, nobody, you're not supposed to do that. Everyone.
And then Bigfoot probably, brings them back.
They throw them back out towards their camp. Like, what are you doing?
I do like it, but that tells you, unless it was other guys messing with them, but of course they saw them. You know
what
I'm saying?
They saw the figures, yeah.
But you would instantly think that, look at the stones on whoever it is throwing them back in there to a bunch of armed military guys.
That's what I'm saying. You really wouldn't want to probably play pranks with guys with M4s
no.
on guard duty. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. That know how to use it. It's a whole different ball game then. So that tells you probably what you were dealing with was not of human intellect.
Right.
It thinks of it completely different. I love the one of like the spear fishing or whatever.
That's pretty cool. Like, once again, this is common with Sasquatch sightings.
It is. Yeah.
Some people say they're ape-like. Some people say they're more like devolved human-like.
And that's like not cavemen, the only sightings that we hear or read that involve like, it's like they're fishing or spear fishing to where they see them along creeks and along things like that.
And you may say that's impossible, but they have pictures of, there's a special type of monkey that has learned how to fish with a spear.
There you go.
Like a human had to show him how to do it, but then the monkey showed it to the other monkey.
Well, they used to be there.
Was an ape. Apologize.
Well, they used to be there, and then the humans got scared and killed all of them. That's probably because that's how it's going to take us over.
Is that, right? Yeah, I've seen that movie.
Right? All of them.
Right? Yeah, well, let's take a break, and when we get back from the break, I'm going to be talking about some streetlight interference. That's right, folks, sliders. So don't go away. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives. And we're back with Expanded Perspectives. What I'm going to be talking about today is kind of an interesting phenomenon. And when at first looked at, you're kind of like, no, this is nothing. This is just pure coincidence. But the more you dig into it, the more I think you'll realize that something strange or paranormal is actually occurring. Now, what I'm talking about, if you don't understand, I mentioned before the break about sliders or street light interference. That's what I'm talking about. It's called SLI, and it stands for street light interference, like I said, or street lamp interference, depending on where on the globe you're located. But it's this alleged phenomenon in which it is claimed that certain people, often without their knowledge, whenever they pass by a street light or a lamp at night, it causes it to spontaneously switch off. Or sometimes vice versa. So a lamp that's off, when they walk by it, it will spontaneously turn on. And believe it or not, there are hundreds of these reports from all over, from different witnesses about this subject. And that's what makes it so controversial. Now, of course, like I said, you know, it seems a bit trivial at first glance, but when you reach down and look at some of the studies of SLI, it seems to be more of a complex process, which is very rich in paradoxes and contradictions. And if true, this carries a profound and exciting implication for both science and our knowledge of the human potential, because see, this goes into the idea that we only use a certain portion of our brain and that we can do so much more. That's why there are certain people walking among us, like mediums or clairvoyants, people that have ESP, able to predict the future. It's kind of like that, where certain people somehow have a reaction to electronics. Now, it's not just the turning on or turning off of electrical lights, but some people actually mess with electrical devices, like light bulbs will blow out easily around them, or if they touch something like a bulb, interference with a radio antenna. I know nowadays mostly people just stream everything, but there was a time when most people listened to the radio with an antenna, and there are people where just like radio simply won't work around them. And for whatever reason, they're having some kind of influence on the radio's ability to intercept the radio signal. There's all types of cases where people are like their wristwatches don't work good for them. Like somebody has a wristwatch and they could have a full battery, and in only just a couple days, it's completely burned up. They replace the battery, same phenomenon. And this often happens with the same people throughout their life. And they're just like, no, I can't wear a wristwatch like that. And no one really knows why. And I think there's probably a lot of people walking around that aren't even familiar that they have this strange ability. Now, to go back first, I first did an episode on sliders. I think it was back when we first started, which was like in 2013, maybe a little bit before that, but definitely in 2013 we were doing it. And I came across this book all the way back then, and it's called Sliders, S-L-I-D-E-R-S, and it's called Sliders, The Enigma of Streetlight Interference, and it's written by a wonderful man named Hillary Evans. And if you're interested in this phenomenon or you think you might possess this phenomenon, I suggest you go pick up this book. You can get it on Amazon. It's really interesting. I'm only going to touch on a few eyewitnesses that have written into Hillary talking about their interaction with this phenomenon. But the book dives really deep into it, where they do all kinds of studies. A lot of different groups are aware of this, like the Russians and things like that. And they've been testing things like this for a long time. But in the book, Hillary points out, and I quote, that people respond to streetlight interference with amusement or amazement, with belief or disbelief, or relief at learning that it happens to others as well as to themselves. SLI takes many different forms, and people react to it in many different ways. The best way to discover what happens when SLI happens is to have it happen to you. For those of us who have not had the benefit of personal experience, though, the next best way is to learn from sliders and what they say happened to them. Check this out. A self-employed salesman from Illinois wrote to Hillary one day, and he said, "The most recent event occurred to me just before Christmas, near my home in a shopping mall. There were a great many lights in the lot. It was snowing that evening. One went out as we got out of the car. My children and I exclaimed, 'We got one,' as we usually do. On our way out, the same light went out again. We started driving around the lot looking for another victim. We would pick ones out that looked a little dimmer and drive under them. If they did not go out right away, we would wait or yell, 'Pow!' just for the effect, I think, until we were able to knock out around six, including the same one three separate times. Another incident occurred in Indianapolis. I had just happened to be discussing this phenomenon with a couple of business friends over a drink. One of them had witnessed this on a prior occasion. The other, of course, thought we were nuts. When we got to the parking lot to get to our car, well, I got one. We all laughed at the coincidence. As we were driving to a restaurant and waiting at a stoplight, another one went out. More laughter from us as we converted another non-believer." Another person writes in, this young person is from Yorkshire, England. It says, "My experience of SLI started in 1991 when I was 19 years old. I was walking back from my girlfriend's house after a night out, followed by a smooching session at her house. It was summertime, in the small hours of the morning, and it was quite cold. I was walking through an open park, lit by old-fashioned, ornate streetlights, when the nearest light post to the footpath went out as I approached. I thought nothing of it except, well, the bulb is gone. The very same thing happened the following night, and again, I dismissed it as a dodgy bulb and thought nothing of it until it happened the next time I passed, at which point I started to think something was up. Over the months, as I returned home from my girlfriend's house, the light would always do the opposite as to its original state, meaning if it was off, it would turn on, and vice versa. After passing the light post, it would usually revert to its original state. I would usually be over 100 meters from it when it did this. On the approach, it would vary from 60 meters to 10 meters past the post before it would turn on or off. Told my friends about the situation, and to silence the skeptics and piss takers, I took them past the light post one dark evening. Sod's law, as nothing happened. Not even a flicker. It wasn't until I noticed I had the same effect on other light posts that I noticed the conditions for the light post thing, that's what I called it, to happen. That is, it was usually late at night, say after 9 p.m. It was always dark, quiet, chilly, and my state of mind. Usually, I would be quite tired, on edge, nervous of my surroundings, fear of mugging, I suppose, and I reckon my adrenaline levels would have been up too. This sort of explains why I couldn't perform in front of my friends, having been in a relaxed situation. Now, this is only my theory. I have since shut my friends up, as I have shown my ability on more than one occasion. I can only think that the cause is overactive brainwaves, a result of my nervous emotions. Another one, an office worker from Texas, writes in, "The reason I am so very interested is because I myself have a lot of various phenomenon around me. Streetlights diffuse and go off at night, sometimes very slowly, sometimes very quickly. Streetlights go on in the same full sunshine at times. When I come close to them, I have periods in my life when several appliances have broken down, just one after the other. Now, regular light bulbs will also come on or go off whenever I'm around, either in people's homes or in restaurants. The same thing happens with fluorescent lights. I've had an electronic garage door open on me before, twice, once at my house in Lexington, Kentucky, another time in my home in Ocala, Florida. The garage doors would often open about halfway, then go up and down rather quickly in a crazy way until the energy dissipated or ran out. If I am on really high energy, which I'm about half the time, I can hold a compass and the needle will go crazy and just go around and around until I let go of the compass. I also periodically have a tremendous amount of trouble with my handheld tape recorder. It'll stop recording, but is still capable of playback. I went through this about 10 times over a period of a couple months. Once it was so bad, it even wiped out what was on the tape. At other times, several of the fuses and lights in my car will blow. Once I was really excited. I was in my travel trailer at the time when I reached out to turn the light on. There was like blue lightning running through the little bulbs, two of them, and a fuse blew. And all the DC lights in the trailer went out. I also can get very charged with static electricity. So much so that sparks actually fly around me, and if anyone else is close by, the sparks will connect with them. I used to have the same sort of problems with an IBM copying machine. They had to spray the floor with anti-static stuff to keep it from happening. Like everybody else, I have no control over it. It would be quite spectacular if we could, wouldn't you think? Yeah, so just like they point out, I forgot about that. Yeah, some people, like, they can't even work copy machines. The compass, that's another common one. People can't hold a compass because it just spins around and around and around. So, somehow, they're manipulating, like, an electronic, not electronic, electromagnetic field around them, subconsciously. And a lot of the cases, it depends on what type of mindset they're in. So, the only way I can describe this, I think, is if you've ever seen the old movie with Drew Barrymore, Firestarter, written by Stephen King. And if you remember that, they kidnap her and the dad, and the dad has psychic abilities, and so do his daughter. But his is like he can force you to do stuff, where she can only like start stuff on fire. Well, anyways, whenever she gets angry or in an elevated, you know, state of mind, that's when all these fires and stuff start breaking out. And of course, at the end, you know, she's able to control it. And anyways, that's the way this kind of seems. It's like nobody seems to be able to control it with any predictability. But it does seem like when you're depressed or high energy, amped up or angry, that's when it like kind of pops off. Hillary goes on the book to talk about if anything like this has ever happened to you, you are probably curious to know what is going on. If it has ever happened to you, you may be curious to know why other people think it happens. If you are a skeptical cast of mind, you will be intrigued by the wooden whodunit aspect and look for simple, natural explanations to dissolve the mystery. If you are tease the experts kind of person, you will be entertained by something that seems to be happening even though controversial science says it can't. For SLI, it's a fascinating puzzle, as challenging as a Rubik's Cube and at the same time as addictive as a detective story. People, for whatever reason, experience SLI, and they experience it in many different ways. For some, it's a frequent occurrence. For others, it is rare, even once in a lifetime. Sometimes only one light is affected. Other times they affect in a sequence. The slider may be walking, cycling, or even in a car, makes no difference. She may be close to the light or at a fair distance. He may be alone, or he might be with others. The only common factor is that a street light is somehow affected, seemingly by the approach or the presence of the slider. Now, SLI is not a local phenomenon. In fact, it happens the world over. I've collected reports from the Americas and the Caribbean, Western and Eastern Europe, Scandinavia, and Atlantic Islands, Asia, and Australia. The similarity of these reports shows that SLI follows much the same pattern wherever it occurs. And whether in Boston or Budapest, Manchester or Melbourne, the same questions arise. What's so special about streetlights? Well, perhaps they aren't that special. SLI is only one of a range of experiences that take place in the borderland between the physical and the mental. What is happening is unquestionably a physical effect, the switching off or on of an electrical gadget, yet at the same time, it seems to be a mental effect, in that though this switching happens spontaneously, it evidently requires the presence of an individual human, often in an exceptional state of mind. He goes on to say that SLI is unique and can reasonably be regarded as a phenomenon in its own right. We have the testimony of hundreds of people who have no reason to doubt. Even if it should turn out that a few are telling lies or making up stories or exaggerating, the fact that so many people have put themselves through the trouble of reporting their experience, people from all walks of life, from many countries, makes it hard to believe that they are all deceiving us or themselves. They could be wrong in the way they interpret their experience, and this is something we shall have to consider, but that something is happening, there is no doubt. Even if the witnesses are deluded, such a widespread delusion would be of interest as a social phenomenon. We do not have to suppose that SLI is a physical or psychic happening, or that is any way supernatural. What we do have to consider the possibility that SLI is showing us a wider potential of the human mind, a deeper interaction between mind and matter. I have to agree. A microbiologist from Norfolk, UK, says the first possible SLI occurred when I was in an extremely emotional state. While I was driving to a police station, I was very worried about a loved one and spontaneously asked, "Just give me a sign that she'll be okay." At that very instant, a street light over the car burned out. Everything turned out okay. I'm not sure who it was that I was asking for a sign, but they gave me one. Another lady from Texas writes in, "As I was walking my dog home one evening, after the streets were deserted and quiet, I had this uneasy feeling of not being safe that came over me. I was at that moment wondering if I should continue in the direction I was going, so I stopped in the middle of the street, and as I glanced down the street, every single light for the neighborhood block went out, followed by a small explosion and sparks from what I thought was a transformer at the other end of the street. It was the most odd thing to be immediately certain that this was not the way I wanted to go. We turned around and went straight home." So in that instance, it's like someone is warning her not to go that way and gave her a sign. Very cool. A motion picture executive from New York writes, "Two examples may relate to one another. The first is one of the few times I was able to look at a street light and it went out. I was walking to my car one evening from work and I looked at the street light ahead and asked the light if I was going to move to Los Angeles. The light was already out. And 1 second after the question, the light turned on. I was bedazzled. When I got in my car, though, still looking at the light, it went back out. I still do not understand this occurrence. Maybe it was a sign. I don't know. The second experience was also connected to Los Angeles. I went to LA on vacation after being laid off from the movie company in New York, and the streetlights were going out left and right. My friend was in the car and noticed it as well. Jokingly, he said, "I brought a lot of negative energy with me after being fired." A teacher from Paris, France, writes in 1980 or 1981, in Sofia, Bulgaria, I was walking to the Cité University and stopped to drink at a little fountain. At the moment I stopped to drink, the street light overlooking the fountain went out. I just laughed to myself, and the next day I told the story to a friend. We were in a bus, and as we passed by the same spot, I showed her the light which had gone out. At the very moment, it went out. It was one of the rare occasions when I've had a witness, the only occasion when I've been in a vehicle when SLI occurred. On another occasion, I was walking along a street undergoing some repairs when an SLI occurred. A few days later, in the same spot, I remembered and watched the light to see if the same thing would happen. But nothing did. I turned my thoughts onto something else, probably how not to fall into a hole in the road, and the neighboring lights went out. My feeling at the time was that it is useless to think of SLI and hope to provoke it. It happens when it chooses to happen. A woman from Toledo, Ohio says, "The other day my brother was making fun of my supposed powers. He was laughing, saying that my experiences with the phenomenon were such a bunch of hula hoo. I ignored him, thinking to myself, I know what I know, and his doubt could be attributed to being a younger, inexperienced sibling, rival who possibly could be jealous. Minutes later, all the power, lights and everything went out for 15 to 20 seconds, then came back on. I laughed, ha ha ha, heartily and exclaimed to him how wrong he was. He was flabbergasted and said to me, do it again. A photographer from New York, visiting the UK, said another amusing incident occurred in Exeter, in a cathedral where a choir was in residence for a week. As we were standing in the close, one of the great floodlights went out. I had been telling one of our choir boys about my funny streetlight phenomena, and assured him the light would come back on, which it did. He avoided me after that for a while. Hillary goes on to explain that in the book that one or two sliders have claimed that they sort of know when they're about to kill a light. If this were generally the case, he points out, it might be a valuable clue because it would tell us that somehow the individual expects the interference to occur, which is tantamount to saying that it is preordained in some way. That could tell us that the slider intends to blow a light, which every slider denies, and for which there is no evidence whatsoever. Or it could simply mean that the light was on the verge of blowing anyway, and for whatever reason, and that the witness is somehow aware of this in the same semi-mysterious way that the experienced mechanic, when you drive into his garage, can tell you to get out your MasterCard because he knows from the sound of your engine that something is about to go wrong with it. But that's too many somehows to be convincing. And though it's an interesting line of thought, the worth bearing in mind, it is no sort of explanation as to why the light extinguishes and why the individual thinks, after it's happened, that she is responsible. In any case, it is liable to all the same weaknesses as any explanation based on chance coincidence. Let's check out another one. A young man from Dublin writes in, "I was leaving a friend's house to go home to my own about 11 p.m. at night in early summer. My own house is about a mile from his, with a straight road that jinks slightly to the right and then continues as it crosses a main intersection. As I start walking up the road, the street light about 7 meters ahead of me goes off. I don't pay any heed and continue on. As I get about the same distance from the next one, it goes out too. Okay, I pause and I think to myself, two in a row. That's a bit of a coincidence. And I carried on. Yes, you guessed it, the same with the next one. This time, I stop and look back at the other lights. They've come back on. I start walking again, and this happens all the way home except at an intersection. I get 7 meters from the light and it goes out. I get about 3 or 4 meters past it, it comes on again. Needless to say, I'm walking quite fast and a little freaked out by the time I get home. I tell my friend about it the next day. Now, we are both at a loss to explain it and eventually say maybe it was just a weird coincidence. But if it was a coincidence, it's a very strange one. As time passes, I begin to think I may have imagined it or maybe had a really vivid dream of it. And no substances were taken, legal or otherwise. About 6 months passes, and the incident is pretty much forgotten. Unfortunately, at this time, my father suffers from a major heart attack and is taken to Blanchardstown Hospital in Dublin. All the wards are in different buildings to reduce the chance of infection. My father wants me to get a paper from the hospital shop in another part of the grounds, and the same thing happens again, all the way from the ward to the shop and back. 7 meters from the light, it goes out. 4 meters past, it comes on again. Totally freaked out again, but I can't explain to my father why I am as white as a sheet when I came back. He doesn't need me telling him any scary stories, and it hasn't happened to me since. Man, that would be freaky. Can you imagine that? Just going along, minding your own business, and every time you get 7 meters from the light, it goes out. And then as you walk past it, it turns back on. I mean, like one or two, that might be kind of weird, but like just continually happening the whole time you're walking, that's freaky. Here's another one from a chemistry engineer in Woodville, Washington. It says, I once was stopped in a major city by police officers who wanted to know what I was doing to the city streetlights. They had observed that as I turned into a lighted street, each and every light went out as I reached within 3 meters of it. I looked back and nearly six lights and 1.5 blocks of street lights were darkened. The police searched my entire car and me before allowing me to leave. As I drove away and on down the street, the oncoming street lights extinguished just before my car reached each pole. I turned off the street and round the block and looked. The street lights were still dark, and the police stopped me again and asked me not to drive down that street again until they had the lights checked out. I drove again up and down that street, the opposite direction, and once again, the far side street lights went dark as I approached all the way through the city, approximately 8 kilometers. These were electric vapor type modern street lights. Here's another one, a television director from California. At the time, I was single, in an unhappy relationship with a woman who lived about an hour away and without transportation. My car parked dead at the curb and requiring expensive repairs. I worked long hours out of compulsiveness and frustration. It was not a high point in my life. My walk to work took about 35 minutes, and in the darkness on the way home, I was almost always thinking intensely. Well, one night, I was walking past an apartment building and the yard light turned off. After I'd walked past it a few meters, it sputtered back on. I didn't think much of it until the next night when the same thing happened. Now I began to wonder if perhaps I was doing this somehow. I made a game of it, actually concentrating on turning off the light, and found much to my surprise that I could do it consistently. I found that I couldn't turn off just any light, but that one was easy. I discounted oncoming car headlights and even observed the light from a distance for a few minutes one night to make sure it wasn't just going on and off at random, and it wasn't. Then, one February night, I was walking through a bitter cold and snow towards downtown Colorado Springs, feeling quite sorry for myself and actually starting to get angry. As my frustration with my situation rolled to the surface, the streetlights began to go out. Not just one at a time, but 5 or 6 at a time. As I walked down the street, more lights went out. I felt filled with excitement as I looked back at the 2 city blocks of dim streetlights that I knew I created. So see, it's like when you're upset or in a bad way, it seems like it manifests, like it becomes more powerful. Very interesting. So what are we supposed to think about this streetlight phenomenon? I mean, I know there's some of you out there that are just like, dude, Kyle, what are you talking about? This is boring. Lights go off when somebody walks by. Yeah, the bulbs are bad. That's it. That's all it is. It's a malfunctioning streetlight. But I'm telling you, there's way more to it. And for how many cases there are, it cannot be just a coincidence. There, I mean, there are people that, like I said, that mess up all types of electronics. They're impossible. They can't hold a compass. They destroy stuff whenever they're around, bulbs in their cars and everything. People can do it with headlights of cars. Some people make it a game, and they are, you know, they try to see if they can make it happen, but it doesn't always happen. Most of the time, I will tell you, it seems like most of the time it's completely random, but it does seem to happen. And it happens to young people, old people, male, female. It doesn't seem to matter, but there are people, and it seems to also be generational, where if somebody's father could do it, then they can do it. And then they start wondering, well, I wonder if my kid can do it. And it's just, it's really bizarre. I suggest if you're interested in this type of thing, or you yourself, you think have this ability, you should check out the book Sliders, The Enigma of Streetlight Interference by Hillary Evans. I'll put links to it in the show notes. Let's take a break, folks. You're listening to Expanded Perspectives. And we're back with Expanded Perspectives. I hope you like those stories. Very interesting. I know we did an episode on sliders way, way back mm-hmm. when we first started. I'd say probably 2013. I did notice on iTunes that some of our early episodes have already kind of fallen off. I think there's like a limit to how many episodes you can put out.
Mm-hmm.
I have to go and check with our IT guy about that. But so some of almost all of 2013 isn't even available on there. But you can still go to our website, expandedperspectives.com, and you can listen to them there. As far as on other podcatchers, they could be there. I don't know. I didn't check every service. I mean, we're distributed on probably 10 different platforms. But anyways, if you've been with the show for a long time, or if you've gone back in time and listened to that episode, I did an episode one other time on sliders or that phenomenon. But there's just so many more sightings out there or cases like this. I think you even mentioned that you have a problem with wristwatches going dead.
And that. I used to be able to do that. I don't do it as I've gotten older, but I used to be able to literally walk past the lights and turn them off.
Now, were you thinking of anything
no.
while you were doing it? It was
look at me. Do I look like I'm a deep thinker?
That's true.
Okay.
So I got what you're saying. But you know what I mean? Like, were you in an agitated state? Were you in a depressed state? Like,
no, not that I'm aware of.
Right,
because it happened so long ago. But yeah, I don't think so. I mean, it was literally just traveling. But I'm always in an agitated state. So yeah, I would probably say I was upset.
There is a lot of people that you know, are trying to understand the phenomenon. And there are stories of like, you know, young teenage girls. That's when poltergeist activity seems
that's
to
true.
Be at the highest peak. Same thing with the streetlight interference. People are trying or theorizing that it might be on like your mood. Like, you know, teenagers, like, they got a lot of hormones going on.
Yeah.
Or like I was asking you, if you were agitated, angry, depressed, like, is that somehow causing it?
So I wonder if this is out there. I wonder if this is it caused by your aura. Can a streetlight in some way, those photocells read people's auras? Because wouldn't that be something, maybe a different aura affects that light differently?
I don't know. And that's a good theory because I have been outside. I've never seen my aura. I don't even claim to have one. I'm not sure I even have a soul. But I have been outside. And like when there's a lot of lightning activity, I have felt like the static electricity, the hairs on my arms stand up.
Like when we were in Colorado?
And, you know.
When the storm came in.
I know that there are fields, you know, and they make special lenses, I think, that can detect the energy field. And what's the thing that runs along the side of a shark that they can feel like the
Lorenz Lorenz amplitude. Dude, I have no idea.
But you know what I'm talking about,
I know
about,
what you're
right?
talking about.
And so, you know, maybe somehow your aura or your energy.
Maybe that's what it, maybe that is what actually sets it off. And but I haven't had it happen in a long time. Watches still, but I just don't wear them that hardly ever. Like I got this thing on some wacky Fitbit. So far it's working, but it seems it's all digital. So I don't really have that. But yeah, I mean, I was having issues with that whole thing.
Well, I know that there are people out there that like, they cannot wear wristwatches for whatever reason.
Yeah. I've never been able to until recently.
Yeah. Very.
So, but yeah, dude, that's awesome. It's cool because there's still enough cases of it that people more and more are still reporting it. And it always makes me wonder too, now that you bring that up, could it be the energy and moods that cause you to have all of these encounters? You know how we talk about people being empaths and some are tuned that
exactly.
way. It's got to be a frequency or a tuning that certain people have. It has to
certain
be.
People, telekinesis,
yep.
where are the studies? the people that ESP, things like that, remote viewing. Like, there's so much more that of our mind, I think, that we could use.
Yes.
We just don't know how to do it.
It's very true.
And I think that certain people are more sensitive.
Yeah, I believe
so.
And
when it comes to, like, this phenomenon, I'm not even, like, if you see a ghost, you're aware of the phenomenon. Like, you, everybody knows what a ghost is, right? If you see a Sasquatch, people are aware. People might be experiencing streetlight interference and not even realize that it's a thing.
Well, and there may be more interference in their life where they're experiencing things, to where we all know people where certain times, you ever walked up to like a door, the electric doors, and you're trying and it won't even register you. And then all of a sudden it opens up and everything's good again. Yeah, that could have been just a glitch, or it could have been the fact that whatever was going on with your aura or however, it just didn't register movement. It just something you were producing didn't register. I wonder if all of these have something to do. We all know people who have things go out more than others, like a credit card. You could have your debit card or your credit card, and you could keep it in the RFID or whatever protection. But for some reason, some people's always wears out or goes out before it's even wore out. Maybe it's something to do with your person.
I think you're right. I know that the old radios, the ones with the antennas before there was digital streaming, there were certain people that they have interference with those more than others.
So it has to be something that we could probably measure if we just... You'd have to try every measurement unknown to find out, but there's got to be a way you could do it.
So like we talk about with like Sasquatch sightings where people are fearing ridicule, so that's why they don't come forward with stories. I think there's probably a lot more cases of this, but people aren't fear of ridicule. They just don't, they're not aware that it's a thing.
Well, and
they don't report it.
They
would you report it too?
That's true.
Like if I had started experiencing this week, I mean, I guess I could talk about it on our show, but where would you send where it the
would
sighting?
End. That's where it would here. Expanded perspectives. That's where you send your sighting. That's where you send your slider encounter. I wonder when people talk about where they feel like they have that some sort of interaction with Bigfoot, to where they use like infrasound or something where they're talking about. What if it's not really that? What if it is somehow you're tuned to that frequency, or maybe you're tuned against that frequency. So when you get near certain frequencies like that creature, it affects you negatively, like you have some sort of allergy to that frequency.
Well, and there are sightings and cases where people feel like Sasquatch is communicating with them telepathically.
Maybe that's what it is. Y'all just tuned in.
Who knows?
Not me.
Right. If you have any cool stories you'd like to share with me and Cam, please email the show, expandedperspectives.com. That's the website. I'm sorry. expandedperspectives@yahoo.com. Or you can call the show 888-393-2783.
Ooh, you got it memorized. That's what I'm talking about.
Or 888-393-BRUD. And you can leave us a voicemail. What else you got coming up on Cameron's Cryptid Classroom?
The Maymay Gwashi is out. So you'll be able to see the Maymay Gwashi. I'm not sure exactly what I'm going to do coming up. I have a few trips planned that I'm going to have to take a little fizzy with me. So we're going to have to go do some exploring and looking around. And then, of course, like we keep talking about, we have a trip coming up that we're going to do some Bigfoot research.
Yeah,
we're going to be actually out in the woods where there was a report. So we are going to be right in the middle of it, hopefully at the end of this month. So that'll be coming out in April. And then, we've got some cool stuff coming up. So some really, really interesting stuff.
I'm very excited. Well, that's about all the time we have for this episode of Expanded Perspectives. Don't forget about Expanded Perspectives Elites. I hope everybody out there has a good week. If you're celebrating St. Patrick's Day, be careful. Get an Uber or something like that, or just a designated driver. Till next time, folks, I'm Kyle. He's Cam.
Peace, y'all.
Thank you.